Library of Adventure, featuring the great adventures of yesterday, dramatized for the boys and girls of today. Michael Strogoff, Courier of the Tsar. Chapter 1 of the story adapted from the novel by Jules Verne. Because every tale must have a beginning, let us begin our tale tonight outside the walls of a great city, whose domes and minarets and spires seem as countless as the stars which shine down frostily from a cold, cloudless sky. It is an ancient city, this, one whose history is studded with magnificence and horror, with pride and tragedy, with notable events enough to mark every single stone in its narrow, cobbled streets. We approach the gates which lead to the palace, the gates through which have passed the great diplomats of the time, the crowned heads of Europe, men of stature, women of surpassing beauty. But only because we are unseen guests may we pass.
Halt! The password, Alexandrina. Pass, friend.
And now we are beneath the ornate balconies of the palace, caught in the reflections of the blaze of light and beauty from the huge ballroom above. Valiantly, the bands of two famous regiments of horse vie with each other in the making of polkas and mazurkas, schottisches and waltzes. And gallantly do uniformed men and splendid ladies take the floor to their sweet strains. This is the new palace, Moscow, in the reign of the Tsar.
Sire, a fresh dispatch.
Prince from Tomsk. Is the wire cut beyond that city?
Yes, sire, since yesterday.
Telegraph hourly to Tomsk, General, and keep me informed of all that occurs.
It shall be done, sire.
Step aside with me, Kisov. I should like to discuss this matter with you.
Sire.
We are, then, without intelligence from the Grand Duke since yesterday.
Without any, sire. And I fear that shortly dispatches will no longer cross the Siberian frontier.
But have not the troops of the province of Irkutsk received orders to march upon Irkutsk itself?
The orders were transmitted by the last telegram we were able to send beyond Lake Baikal.
And the governments of Yeniseisk and Tobolsk? Are we still in direct communication with them as before the insurrection?
Yes, sire. Our dispatches have reached them, and we are assured at the present moment that the Tatars have not advanced beyond the Irtysh and the Obi.
I see. And the traitor, Ivan Ogareff, are there no tidings of him?
None. The head of the police cannot state whether or not he has crossed the frontier.
Let a description of him be immediately dispatched to every telegraphic station still open to us.
Your order will be instantly carried out, sire.
Observe the strictest silence as to this matter. You may leave.
Ah, good evening, my dear Blunt. I've been looking for you. Is it not a charming scene? The lights reflected in the mirrors, the uniforms, the many lovely ladies, the music. I have telegraphed already. Splendid. Yes. Nevertheless, I felt compelled to remark to my cousin.
Your cousin?
My cousin Madeleine. It is with her I correspond, and she likes to be quickly and well informed. I therefore remarked to her that during this notable evening, a cloud appeared to overshadow the sovereign's brow.
To me, it seemed radiant.
And naturally, you made it radiant in the columns of the Daily Telegraph.
Naturally. One has to report what one sees. Even you, my dear Jolivet. To your cousin Madeleine.
Tell me, Mr. Blunt, do you remember what is said to have occurred at Zaret in the year 1812?
I remember it as well as if I'd been there, sir.
Then you know that in a fête given in his honor,
it was announced to the Emperor Alexander that Napoleon had just crossed the Niemen with the vanguard of the French army. Nevertheless, the Emperor did not leave the fete, and notwithstanding the extreme gravity of intelligence which might cost him his empire, he did not allow himself to show more uneasiness
than our host exhibited when General Kissoff informed him that the telegraph wires had just been cut between the frontier and the government of Irkutsk.
Ah, you are aware of that?
I am.
As regards myself, it would be difficult to avoid knowing it, since my last telegram reached Odinsk.
And mine only as far as Krasnoyarsk.
Then you know also that orders have been sent to the troops of Nikolaevsk?
I do, sir. And at the same time, a telegram was sent to the Cossacks of the government of Tobolsk to concentrate their forces.
Nothing can be more true, Mr. Blunt. I am equally well acquainted with these measures. And you may be sure that my dear cousin shall know something of them tomorrow.
Exactly as the readers of the Daily Telegraph shall know it also, Monsieur Jolivet.
Well, when one sees all that is going on...
And when one hears all that is going on...
An interesting campaign to follow, Mr. Blunt.
I shall follow it, Monsieur Jolivet.
Sire... Telegrams past Tomsk no longer, sire.
A courier this moment. And send the chief of police. I shall wait in the anteroom. Enter.
You wish to speak with me, sire?
I did. As my chief of police, you can perhaps tell me something of Ivan Nogareff.
He is an extremely dangerous man, sire.
He ranked as colonel, did he not?
Yes, sire.
Was he an intelligent officer?
Very intelligent. But a man whose spirit it was impossible to subdue. He possessed an ambition which stopped at nothing, and so became involved in secret intrigues. It was then that he was degraded from his rank by His Highness the Grand Duke, and exiled to Siberia.
How long ago was that?
2 years since. Pardoned after 6 months of exile, by your Majesty's favor, he returned to Russia.
And since that time, has he not revisited Siberia?
Yes, sire. But he voluntarily returned there. There was a time when none returned from Siberia.
Well, whilst I live, Siberia is and shall be a country whence men can return.
Sire.
Did not Ivan Ogareff return to Russia a second time after that journey through the Siberian provinces, the object of which remains unknown?
He did.
And have the police lost trace of him since?
No, sire. For an offender only becomes really dangerous from the day he receives his pardon.
You are not questioning my interior policy, General?
No, sire.
Where was Ivan Ogareff last heard of?
In the province of Perm, in the town of Perm itself.
What was he doing?
He appeared unoccupied, and there was nothing suspicious in his conduct.
When did he leave Perm?
About the month of March. Where he went is unknown, as he was not then under police surveillance.
But I know where he went, General. I have received anonymous communications which did not pass through your department. And in the face of events now taking place beyond the frontier, I have every reason to believe that they are correct.
Do you mean that Ivan Ogareff has a hand in this Tartar rebellion?
I do. I will tell you something else. After leaving Perm, Ogareff crossed the Ural Mountains, entered Siberia, and attempted to foment rebellion on the Kyrgyz steppes. He went to Free Turkestan and found chiefs willing to pour their Tartar hordes into Siberia and excite a general rising in Asiatic Russia. The storm has been gathering. Now it has burst. All communication between Eastern and Western Siberia have stopped. Moreover, Ivan Ogareff, thirsting for vengeance, aims at the life of my brother.
Your Majesty has, of course, given orders that this rebellion must be suppressed as soon as possible.
Yes, of course. As far as our telegrams could reach, troops are on the move. Cossacks are advancing by forced marches towards the Urals. But unfortunately, some weeks must pass before they can attack the Tatars.
And your Majesty's brother, His Highness the Grand Duke, is now isolated in Irkutsk and no longer in direct communication with Moscow?
That is so.
But by the last dispatches, he must know what steps have been taken by your Majesty and what help he may expect from the governments nearest to that of Irkutsk.
He knows that. But what he does not know is that Ivan Ogareff, as well as being a rebel, is playing the part of a traitor, and that in him he has a bitter and personal enemy.
I see.
Ogareff owes his disgrace to my brother. And my brother does not know Ogareff. His plan, therefore, is to go to Irkutsk, offer his services to the Grand Duke, and then, when the Tatars have invested the city, betray it and my brother, whose life is directly threatened. This is what the Grand Duke does not know, and it is what he must know.
Well, sire, an intelligent, courageous courier...
I am expecting one at any moment. No. Enter.
Sire, the courier waits.
Good, good. I will talk with him. What is his name?
His name, sire, is Michael Strogoff.
So our story of old Russia moves swiftly to a new point of interest as the courier of the Tsar is announced. What kind of man is this Michael Strogoff? And what will be his mission across the wild country of Siberia? Listen again when next we present Michael Strogoff, Courier of the Tsar.